Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 62 of Finding True Wealth. I'm Nick Hopwood, your host, and today I'll be interviewing Mr. Jim Pilot, also at Peak Wealth Management, about lifestyle creep.
Yeah.
What is lifestyle creep?
It's kind of a catchy title, right?
Yeah, did you come up with that?
No, I have to admit, I pulled it from an article I read, but it was just a good article, and the message behind it was really important, I thought.
So what is this message about lifestyle creep, and what should we be aware of?
Basically, lifestyle creep is when things in life just start creeping in on us. The purchases start getting a little bigger and a little bigger. We all can look back at a time where we lived more frugally, right? Think back to college or think back to earlier in your career, right out of college and living in that new apartment or new house, and you're using grandma's old dishes and mom's old pots and pans and, you know, getting by off of used furniture and things like that.
I have a hard time remembering before we had kids.
I know. Strangely, that is a hard thing to remember, but I agree with you.
Yeah, you think about what your starting pay was and your first job kind of deal.
Right.
Probably much different 20 years later.
Right. At times it was a challenge to get by, and at times now, even still, it's a challenge for people to get by at times. But what the article really went into talking about is how, we let these things in our lifestyle start creeping in, and you know, we start off with adding a little convenience here and a little more convenience there, and the next thing you know, we get in too deep and we have a hard time going back to that old lifestyle.
Yeah, when I think about my personal experience, graduating from college, first year, splitting an apartment, two-bedroom apartment, mm-hmm. Two bedrooms, $500 each, you know, that was a pretty good rent rate.
Right.
But then after a year, started having some success at work, what did we do? We buy a condo, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden my payment is double.
Right. Or the apartment, you know, without the garage is no longer good enough. Now you need the one with the garage because who wants to shovel that snow off the car every winter?
Right. And, you know, what, come to think of it, it wasn't like my condo is so much nicer than the apartment. Mm-hmm. I just basically eliminated my roommate.
Right.
You know, and now I have to pay for the whole thing on my own.
Right. And now maybe you have an extra room. So now what do you do with that extra room? Do you find something to fill it with? Right. So now you move a little desk in there and you start building.
I got to go buy
office.
A desk now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Make it my home office.
Right. Yep. I think, we had a really interesting example of that. Personally, I felt like we just recently had a little three-season room that we have and thought, you know, this would be great just to throw some paint on this wall and freshen it up a little bit. Well, that $50 can of paint turned into, the floor doesn't really match anymore, right? So then we're on to new floor. And then what happened once the floor and the paint looked good? What happened to the furniture, right?
Now it's got to go.
Furniture's not good enough, right? So now we're going to, you know, probably find some furniture that's going to cost over $1,000 and mm-hmm. add it all up with the flooring and everything. That $50 can of paint turned into a $1,500 renovation.
Yeah, we just replaced our kitchen table, like in the, not the dining room, but the kitchen table where you have a lot of right. your casual meals.
Uh-huh.
And there's a rug. So we went from like a round table to a square, or I'm sorry, from a square to a round. And underneath the square one, there's a rug, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the wood floor, I guess the sun just really, I don't want to say bleached it, but it faded it. And so now it's like, okay, well, we need to get a new rug or redo the floor mm-hmm. from this stupid table.
Right.
And I'm like pulling my hair out over this. I liked the old table.
Right. Yeah. But we look at our lives and it happens in so many different places. You know, that first car you had was good enough, right? And then you needed a little more room so you get, you know, an SUV, and then the SUV wasn't good enough because you needed the third row, and then the third row wasn't good enough, so you needed the big SUV with the third row. And the problem, I don't want it to come across that, you know, we're not allowed to have nice things, because I think we definitely are, but it's just being aware of those luxuries and being aware that, you know, once you're at the top of the line on the SUV, now it gets really hard to start going back, right, and start creeping back into you know, maybe a smaller SUV with a more reasonable payment on it.
What about the third vehicle?
Yeah, that's another one.
You gotta have your, you know, convertible, right?
Your winter car, your summer car. Yeah. Yeah.
So I can relate to that one. What else, you know, did you take out of the article, or can you relate to on a personal level?
Well, you know, just one more thought to add too is that, you know, we talked about the podcast that you did not too long ago about the true cost of a boat ride, right? I think that kind of piggybacks on this really well, where we don't always look at all the additional costs that go into purchases. And lifestyle creep, what it really is talking about is those purchases that seemingly lead to more purchases, right?
Yes.
It's not the one-offs. It's something that leads to something else.
Okay, so here's one I just thought of. So we would, for maybe 2 or 3 years in a row, rent an RV from General RV, take it for a long weekend, and it's not cheap. You know, I mean, I think it's at least $1,000 or something for like a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, gosh, we'd like to have our own instead of paying the rental fee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, these things are expensive to buy, right?
Of course.
And it turns out once you buy it, now you have to insure it. Now you have to store it.
Mm-hmm.
And most associations will not allow you to park a big RV in your driveway.
Right.
Or most driveways aren't big enough either.
Right.
So you got to pay $50 a month or more to store it.
Right.
Okay. So like the costs start piling up, then you have maintenance and winterization and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you're better off just paying $1,000 for the weekend.
Right.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it all comes down to, is just thinking through those purchases, right? And thinking through what could come along with it that maybe you don't see at first glance.
All right. So you have some suggestions or some tips to consider?
Yeah. Some of the things that we could do is, you know, consider those frugal behaviors that we had when we were younger and earlier in our careers. Don't be afraid to do some of those things again. You know, don't be afraid to try buying something used every once in a while. You know, taking public transportation, you know, maybe instead of buying a new book every time, we consider using the library, just to keep these behaviors fresh in our mind and realizing that, hey, it's okay. You know, we'll survive if we don't have the newest, the latest, the greatest. You know, another one of the tips I thought was pretty interesting is cooking dinner with what you already have in the house, right? Instead of going out and buying the, you know, the steaks to grill, just say, hey, what do we got in the freezer? Let's pull it out and use that tonight, rather than going out and eating at a restaurant. Another one of the tips was be aware of loss aversion, they call it. You know, we all hate having things taken away. So, right, we hear all the times where companies will offer a free trial or a free upgrade or, you know, hey, sign up for cable and get all these channels for free, right?
Because, supersize your meal for only 25 cents more.
Right, right. And the companies do it because they know it works. Is once you have those 50 extra cable channels that you didn't have last month, it's going to be a lot harder to get rid of them. You know, we fear losing those. So it's often those are common traps for lifestyle creep. You know, even things as simple as the hotel or the airline upgrades. You know, you fly first class a couple times and you start to like it. Mm. It starts to get kind of nice.
You like, right? It immediately, yeah.
Right.
I've only flown first class once.
Yeah.
And that was because we had some sort of flight delay. Maybe there was a strike or something. And
right.
We got stuck in Vegas for an extra day.
Oh.
So never. Delta picked up the hotel room, like a per diem for food, and then first class coming back home.
There you go.
It was worth it.
That was nice, right?
Yeah.
But the more you do that kind of thing, the more you want that to become your new norm, right?
Yeah.
And then air travel, vacations, everything gets quite a bit more expensive if we start taking advantage of those. Something else to keep in mind is that, you know, behavior is very contagious, right? If we're hanging out with friends who constantly want to go to the $50 a plate restaurants, you know, who don't want to go to the $15 a month health club, but the $200 a month health club, these things have a tendency to become the reality for our lives. You know, and we kind of look back and look at our situation and say, well, maybe this isn't good enough. Maybe I need to be paying $200 for the health club, or maybe I need to be going out to these nice dinners more often.
Do we call this low maintenance friends that we should be looking for?
that's an example of a high maintenance friend, and we need to keep some low maintenance friends in our lives to help keep that perspective as well. And really something else that's important to consider is that lifestyle where we're constantly getting newer, getting bigger, you know, having the best, really can add stress to our lives, you know, and we don't think about, you know, but maybe even like the kids' sports teams, right? Maybe the club that's got the name and the prestige that's halfway across town, maybe that's not the club we need to be a part of, right? Maybe the one that's locally that doesn't carry the same prestige with it is good enough, right? And it'll save you the stress of getting out of work in time and commuting over to...
Yeah, how about the club that doesn't make me want to leave work at 4 o'clock to get to practice on time?
Right, you're leaving early, you're hustling home to get halfway across town, passing who knows how many other soccer teams or volleyball teams to go to the high-stress club. I think that's something to consider. And then the other thing is just, you know, when you have these, you're spending extra for these nice items, you are more conscious of making sure you take care of it. You're always worrying if it's going to get stolen. What if it gets broken? I spent all this money on it, right? And we have this mentality now that, this isn't necessarily adding convenience and luxury to our life. It's adding stress and complication.
Yeah, that's how I feel about my sunglasses.
Yeah.
Because if they're like $200 or something.
Right.
I think that's how much they are now.
Right.
And they kind of wear over time, you know, this little piece falls off and it makes me really frustrated and angry. I'm always worried that they're going to be, you know, fall off in the water and stuff like that. But the gas station ones are like $12 and they're like Ray-Ban knockoffs. That's a pretty good solution.
Yeah. You can get the
I just bought a Ray-Ban knockoff at the gas station.
Right.
For that very reason. But you know, I just remember one more thing, and I'm going to pick on my brother for a minute. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll have his approval. When he graduated from college, I remember him complaining to me. I'm like 4 years older, okay? He was constantly complaining, I don't have any money. You know, I have to live on the McDonald's Dollar Millionaire. Mm-hmm. What was it called? Dollar Millionaire. Yeah, he was like the Dollar Millionaire guy.
Yeah.
And he was like eating McDonald's for a dollar, you know, for each meal. He's like, I can't even pay my rent. And so he was making, it was low, okay? And then, you know, 2 years later, it's like double because he's starting to have some success. And guess what? It's still the same complaint. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I feel like I can't get ahead. And this is a long time ago. But the point is, I think if you make, you know, $25,000 to $50,000 to $100,000, if you let lifestyle creep, you know, if you fall victim to it, you can feel like you're broke. Remember we did the podcast at $500,000?
No matter how much you make,
that would be like the ultimate lifestyle creep, where if you make five times as much as maybe you do and you still feel like things are tight.
Right.
Because you've made all these extra commitments that you really don't need.
Right.
Could have been using the money to get yourself ahead, but instead these behavioral decisions have got you stuck.
Yeah. And really that was the takeaway for me is, you know, overall, again, I don't think we can't enjoy nice things. I don't think we can't spend some money here and there for convenience. But I really just think it's about being careful and aware that lifestyle creep is a real thing. And unless we're on guard and we're doing things to prevent it, you know, it can have big financial implications on us. It can force, you know, us to have a more difficult time saving for retirement, for college, building up that emergency fund. You know, and neglecting these things obviously, you know, can create serious long-term damage.
Yeah, by the way, making 500,000 feel average is episode 56.
Yep, there you
go. So that's a pretty good one. I thought you should go back and listen to it if you haven't yet.
Yeah, perfect example of lifestyle creep for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, so wrapping up here, any conclusion?
Yeah, just be on guard. Just realize that it's a real thing. Realize that, you know, especially, I guess, watch out for the purchases that lead to additional purchases. You know, the boat that leads to the dock, that leads to extra fuel costs, that leads to insurance, to, you know, and so on and so on. I think that's important that we're just on guard for those things and realizing that it could be a reality.
And my last final point would be, you know, maybe one way to not fall victim to this, besides just being aware, would be to actually track your expenses each month. We have a nice template at peakwm.com/expenses. We have a nice little Excel template that you can download and make your own. Mm-hmm. And if you're tracking your expenses every first of the month, it means that you're aware of what you're doing.
Right. Right? You can see the patterns in the history. And if lifestyle creep's really taking hold, you'll see those monthly expenses going up little by little.
Yeah. And we did a podcast on kind of that topic of the spreadsheet, which is episode 55, expense tracking. So any last point?
No, I think those are all, you know, we got a lot of valuable tools to help people be prepared and be able to combat this lifestyle creep.
Good topic, Jim. Hey, if you guys have over $500,000 in your portfolio and you want to set up a time to talk with Jim or myself, you can reach out to us at peakwm.com and set up a time to meet. Thanks, and we'll talk next time.